We really focused last Sunday about if you're the borrower, don't just see yourself as being the tail. Don't just see yourself as being in lack. Don't just see yourself as being the unfortunate one, but learn that where you are and learn to move life forwards and be intentional. We talked about even when you're a borrower, when you're the borrower, you've got to have some principles by which you live your life. And the first principle was never return something you borrowed in worse condition than when you borrowed it. Amen. Matter of fact, I told the story about the bus last week and about we borrowed a bus. And I think I may have not got all the details right. All I remember was that bus engine cost us a whole lot of money. But the bottom line is, you know, if you borrow something, you return it in better condition than you got it. Amen. I borrowed the Wave City Care bus just recently, and I borrowed it with half a tank of gas. But when I returned it with a full tank of gas. You with me here? I borrowed it. It was given to me clean. I made sure it went back just as clean as when I borrowed it. You with me here? And if you learn what it is to be that kind of person about being, you know, renting a house, maybe you're not driving the car of your dreams. Maybe it's just going to get you from A to B. But if you learn to look after the car that the Lord has blessed you with, that'll get you from A to B, He might just get you a car that'll get you from A to Z. But you got to learn to be faithful in what you have. If you're renting a house right now and you believe in God one day to buy a house, well, then you learn to look after what the Lord's given you. You want a new suit, but you can't hang up the old one? Come on. Why mow the grass? Why worry about doing the edges? Why worry about doing the weeding? It's not my house after all anyway. Hey, when you're there, occupy and own it as if it is yours. And if you do, the Lord will bless you. Amen. Maybe you're in a job right now and one day you want to be the owner of your own business. You want to be in management. You want to be in a position of leadership. You don't like being on the bottom end of the pole and all the rest of it. But if you can learn to be faithful and own that job, God will see to it that maybe right now you're the tail, but He'll see to it that you'll make it to the position of the head. That's what happened to Joseph. He owned his moments. When he was in Potiphar's home, he owned the moment as a slave. He had a dream to be an owner. He had a dream to be a leader. He was by no means a leader, but he acted like his dream. He created a demand for his leadership. He didn't demand to be a leader. He didn't demand for opportunity, but he was so good and faithful and diligent in what he did that he got promoted. Amen. So principle number one, never return something in just the same condition as when you got it. Amen. Number two, learn to think big in small places. We talked about that widow, and she went to Elijah the prophet, and she was in trouble. Her husband died. We talked about you can be a good man but still mess up on your finances. She was about to lose her sons, and then the prophet came along and said to her, borrow not a few vessels. We're talking about the principle of being the borrower. She borrowed, and God brought provision, and in the borrowing capacity she found abundance and God coming through for her. Amen. And we talked about that. You got to learn to think big in small places. She was in lack. She was in need. She was in poverty. She lost her husband. She's about to lose her sons. But God comes through. God had to get her to think big. Amen. And then the third thought we talked about last Sunday was God uses borrowed things. Jesus borrowed a donkey. Amen. Friday, I borrowed a plane. Flew down single engine little Saratoga, praise God, two great pilots, and flew me down. I was able to have a breakfast, business breakfast with Dr. Joe Monaco on Friday morning, was able to meet with somebody else after that, jump on a plane, Sharon and I, fly down, spend some time with Adam and Marlise, fly back for a wedding on Saturday, fly back into Williamsburg. Let me tell you something, can I just say, and thank God, who I don't even know who even owns the plane. All I know is they give us access to it. We pay for the fuel, we pay for the pilots, but we're not paying for the plane. We borrowed it. The Lord hath need of it. Just like the donkey. Amen. Amen. And will you give God your donkey, your means of transportation? You know, will you pick somebody up in your car? Will you take somebody to church? Will you open your home to a connect group? God uses borrowed things. Come on, Jesus borrowed a boat. So that was last week. This week, I want to talk to you about ownership. Everybody say ownership. And I want to read to you a few verses in the Bible. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. This is an important scripture on ownership, because look what the Bible says here. It says, "He has set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts." Listen to this. "As a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." He has set his seal of ownership on us. He has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit. In other words, can I tell you something? God is owning you. And God has put a seal of ownership, and he put his spirit on you as a deposit. In other words, there's a sense of guarantee of the ownership that we can understand that God owns us and we are owned by him. Amen. I love this scripture in Deuteronomy 28 verse 13. The Lord will make you the what? Okay, that was a really good chance for you to jump in. And I know it's a long weekend, but come on, stay with me now. The Lord will make you what? And not the? If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, carefully follow them, you will always be at the and never at the. That's the will of God. To be the head, to be the owner, to be the top, and never at the bottom, in Jesus' name. I like that scripture. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8. The Lord will command the blessings on you and in your barns in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God wants to give you land. Some of you don't want it. God wants to give you a house. Some of you don't want it. You think there's something spiritual about being poor. It takes no faith to be poor. It takes faith to be blessed. Amen? One of the best ways to help the poor is don't be one of them. I remember I said that one time, someone wrote to me and says, "You can't be serious." I said, "I am very serious. If you're going to help the poor, don't be one of them." Amen? Look what the Bible says here in Jeremiah. Look at this. Jeremiah 29 verse 5. "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce." Build houses. It is the will of God that you have a home. It is the will of God you live in your home. It is the will of God, listen to this, that you plant gardens and eat, and that you eat the produce. Do you know what the Bible's saying? Come on, work, own your house, own your dream, own your life. Be the head, not the tail. The Lord wants to give you land. The Lord wants you to build houses. The Lord wants you to occupy till he comes back again. But as long as we're sitting at the rapture bus stop just waiting for Jesus to come back, we think, why borrow building a house? Why borrow having my own land? Why bother? Jesus is coming back again. How many know that over the 2,000 years since Jesus died, there's many times that people thought Jesus was coming back? What if he doesn't? What are you going to leave for the next generation? Come on. The Bible says we're to leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children. I don't want the inheritance to be welfare recipient mentality. I don't want the inheritance to be nobody ever helped me and I'm not going to help you. You're on your own. Come on. We're building for the generations to come. That's what the foundation's all about. That's why we're building strong, healthy churches. Amen. It is the will of God. Let me show you something here, Jesus speaking. This will shock some of you. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter began to say to him, "See, we've left everything and followed you, Jesus." This is Jesus talking leading up to this, where he says, "It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven." You with me here? And these disciples were blessed. They were fishermen. They were business people. You with me here? And they're confused. And Peter speaks up, because Peter's always the first one that's going to speak up. And he says, "See," he says, "we've left everything and followed you, Jesus. Truly I say to you," listen to Jesus says now, "there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands." Everybody say lands. for my sake, look at this now, who's left house or land, brother or sister, mother or father, or children or land, for my sake and for the gospel. Hey, anyone who's left house or land, mother or brother, sister or father, for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, everybody hearing this, will not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Everybody say now. Now in this time. Watch this. Not just in heaven. Not just if you leave house and land, mother or brother, father or sister. Not just when you get to heaven. But now in this land, in this time, we'll receive a hundredfold houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Everybody see that in the Bible? If you are willing to follow hard after God and you're willing to pay the price of following after Him for the sake of the gospel, and you leave house or land or mother or brother or sister or father, you will receive, for the sake of the gospel, you will receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, land, mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers. Come on, I'm reading Jesus. With persecutions. Everybody say, with persecutions. And it says, and in the eternal age that is to come. I just want to make it very clear. It is the will of God that you are the head and not the tail. It is the will of God that you find yourself in a position of ownership. It is the will of God that you have a house and you have land, and you are blessed and you are fruitful. Come on, someone say amen. The only problem is Christians so often are the ones who don't want this. But God wants to get, the Bible says, ask of me and I'll give you an inheritance. The whole earth, ask of me and I will give the earth as an inheritance. And some of us are still asking God to help us with our bad temper. God's thinking nations and we're asking God to help us with our bad temper. That's why we got to learn how to think big in small places. God wants to give us nations. God wants to give us houses a hundredfold. God wants to give us land a hundredfold now in this life. It is the will of God that we as a church own land and build buildings and occupy and advance the purpose of the kingdom of God. It is the will of God that you are blessed in the name of Jesus. I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to convince some of you this morning. It is the will of God now in this life and in the life to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is the will of God. Yeah, maybe you're here in the military and you feel like you got no family. You moved away from your family. Well, you know, for the sake of the gospel, you're serving the kingdom of God in the military and God's now landed you in this church. Can I tell you, we're now your family. We're now your brother. And yeah, I pray it is multiplied 100 times now in this life and in the life to come in Jesus' name. I was talking to a guy this week and he goes, do you know, I love the mountains. He goes, I love the mountains. If I were just to follow after my own desires, my own fleshly desires, I'd have moved up into the mountains. He goes, but I can't live without being around Wave Church. I just got to be around Wave Church. So I've just figured out how to navigate my life to be here, a part of Wave Church. And I still have a piece of land up there in the mountains that I go visit, but I could never not be a part of the house of God here. Can I tell you, you can have both in Jesus' name. It's not either or. When you put the kingdom first, it is amazing how God adds into your family. Amen. So here's 3 thoughts real quick. I'm going to talk to you about ownership. Have I laid the thought that God does want you to be the head? Have I laid the thought it is the will of God that you live a blessed life? Amen. We've already talked a lot about the borrower. Today I want to talk about the owner. Here's the first thought I want to give you. There is a difference between ownership and possessiveness. There is a difference between ownership and possessiveness. Do you know, let's talk about you owning a house and you're believing God that God will bless you with a house of your own that you own. Praise God. And one day maybe you will really own it. Not just the bank having a lien on it. Amen. And here's the bottom line. You know, you pray for that. God answers your prayer and you own that house, but don't be possessive of it. Somebody says, hey, we'd love to do a connect group in your home. No, 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 no. I don't want strangers coming into my house. Can I tell you something? That's a difference between ownership and possessiveness. Do you know, we talk about maybe somebody who gets on stage here at Wave Church, and I pray this is a very sought after platform. And I pray, praise God for all the volunteers and all the workers that are here. And I want people who are owners of the vision. And when you hold a microphone in your hand, you are owning the moment. You are leading people into the presence of God. And we want people to own the opportunity and own the moment. But I don't want people getting possessive. This is my microphone. There's nobody else going to take my microphone. This is my ministry. And I want people to own the ministry, but I don't want people becoming possessive where they feel like this is my spot, I've earned this spot, and there is no room for anybody else. And then you start getting jealous when God starts raising somebody else up, and you start making it all about church politics, and you start making it all about, well, they don't like me, they're just favoring these sorts of people. Can I tell you, I want own ownership, but what we don't need is possessiveness. It's not just my ministry, it's what can I do to own this, to build and bless the kingdom of God. You know, it comes to a position with our own team here at Wave Church. I want people to own that moment, but if I feel like I need to move somebody, I don't want them to get possessive of the opportunity that I feel like we said we have need of you here, but now we'd like to move you over here. I want people to go, okay, I'm just going to own whatever the Lord puts in front of me. Amen. Now, in the business world, let me put it to you like this. If you're working in a company and the employer says, hey, listen, we've actually got to change a job for you. We'd like to keep you, but now we're going to put you over here and we want you to function in this area. You've got two choices. You can actually make the change in the job or you can change your job. You with me here? But you're not going to try, you know, you can talk to your boss if he's reasonable and have a conversation about it. But at the end of the day, you with me here? You know, we want people to own it. But if you start getting possessive of it, where you start saying, this is my right, this is what, you know, and you start hanging on too hard to something, now you're possessive. Come on, someone say amen. Let me show you what this looks like in the Bible. You see, you know, when you own it, you need to remember it came from God. Amen. And when you're the owner, you can determine the use of your assets. Come on, someone say amen. Acts chapter 4, look at this. It says, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed any of their possessions as their own. Did you see that? No one claimed any of their possessions. They possessed it, but they didn't claim it as their own. But they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully working in them all that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to everyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, also sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They had land. Are you hearing me? But as they heard there was need, they had this sense of ownership of a greater community. Amen. And then they weren't possessive of it. They didn't hang on to it. Hey, the Lord's blessed me and I'm not possessive of what I own. There is a need. I have a means to meet the need. I will help meet the need. And one guy here whose name is Joseph, we all know him as Barnabas because he got renamed. He had a piece of land, sold it. Now watch what happens when somebody who is possessive tries to come off generous. Look at Acts chapter 5, the very next verse, and it says, now a man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Where did they learn that from? From Joseph. Joseph just did it, didn't he? So they're going to say, we're going to do it too. We're going to sell a piece of property, Ananias and Sapphira. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, I don't have time to read all this story, but he came off saying, everything we got from the sale of this land, we are now giving. But how many know he's lying? He kept back part of it. You see, there's a difference between ownership and possessiveness. You see, money had him. He wanted to look like he was being as generous as the others, but he wasn't willing. He was possessing. He was hanging on to something, and he was claiming to be something he wasn't. Can I encourage everybody here? Let's not get possessive of what the Lord's given us. Let's own it, but let's not be possessive of it. Let's be sharers in Jesus' name. Come on, someone say amen. Praise the Lord. You see, when you're the owner, you're free to share. When you're possessive, you hide what you have. Amen. That's what they did. They hid back. They kept back. They withheld. They didn't want to give all. Now, it was their freedom to say, hey, listen, we're giving a big share of this to the Lord, but we're keeping some of this because we have need of it. How many know that would have been okay? But they were lying. They were trying to come off more than they really were. They wanted the benefits of coming across to being perceived to be generous, but actually weren't willing to make the sacrifice. They were possessive of what they had. Looked generous, but were possessive. Amen. Here's the second thought. Owners don't take a free ride. Owners don't take a free ride. Ephesians 4 verse 28. Let the thief, listen to this, no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing something honest with his hands, that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let the thief, listen to this, steal no more. But let him do something, the Bible says, useful with his hands. Can I tell you? You know, when you're the owner, can I just say this to you? You're not looking for a free ride. You're not thinking, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. You're not thinking about just everybody owes you. You're thinking about, listen, do something useful with your own hands, and the Bible says, have enough to share with those who are in need. Don't just make life about you. You know, and you know, we talked a little bit about these different campuses we have, and you know, with one of our campuses, a business person was asking, you know, I want to make sure that if I give my tithe and I give my finances to one of the other campuses outside of Hampton Roads, they said, I want to make sure my tithe stays in my campus. Well, I understand that. That's a business person wanting to make sure where his investment's going. He wants to be an owner, but let me tell you, you got to be careful you don't become possessive of your finances. And so, you know, the campus pastor was talking about, you know, what do we do? How do we handle that? And it's real simple. It's easy to say, hey, that's an easy answer. It's a good thing people in Great Neck didn't think like you, or there'd be no other campuses. Amen. Amen. And I want to encourage every campus to think beyond yourself. Don't just, you know, don't be looking for a free ride in life, in your job. Don't be looking, you know, just, you know, with your employer. Don't be thinking that your boss owes you. Don't be thinking the government owes you. Amen. I want to show you a few verses here that'll really bring it out. Genesis 2 verse 15. Then the Lord took man, this is Adam, who he made, and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. Ever say work it? So God, the Bible says, created all the world. He made heaven and earth. He made all the plants and all the trees and all the vegetation and all the animals and all the birds and all the critters. He gave shrub and seed-bearing seeds that brought fruit after their own kind. God did all the work of providing a garden. But then he said to Adam, the Bible says, he took man and put him in the garden to what? Work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat it, you will certainly die. Here, can I tell you something? God gave us the resources. God gave Adam the resources, but he still expected Adam to work it. It's not a free ride. God didn't send down angels. Hey, Adam, work. Take care of it. Amen. Now, God did it, but imagine if Adam didn't work it. God's garden would have been a mess. God expected him to take care of it. Come on, someone say amen. God expects us to take care of what he's given us. The self-made man that says, nobody ever helped me. I did everything my way. No one ever helped me. Hey, God put us on this earth. God created this. God put breath in your lungs. God gave us the minerals, the resources, the vegetation, everything, the environment in which we live. Don't tell me nobody helped you. Everything you accomplish out of God's planet, God's earth, God's breath, God's life. Amen. Now you work it. Don't be a parasite. Don't be living off everybody else's blessing. Be the owner. Be the head and not the tail. It's better to give than it is to receive. I don't want to be the guy on the receiving end all the time. I've been on the receiving end. I'm grateful to people who've been generous to me. But I'm not living my life thinking that everybody owes me a free ride. I'm not looking for the pastor's discount. I'm not looking for people to give me freebies just because I'm a pastor. I want to make sure that I'm the head and not the tail. I want to be generous. I want to be the giving. I want to be the one reaching out. When Vern Clark was just got promoted to CNO, Chief Naval Officer, and he was the commander of the fleet here in on the East Coast, and I actually requested to meet with him, not knowing he was promoted to CNO. I just wanted to find out who's the person with the most in charge of the military in our area, and I sought to have a meeting with him. I got a meeting with him. I sat down with him. I just moved here to Virginia Beach. The first thing the Lord told me to do was to honor the military. And I went down and met with him, and he goes, I don't know how you got this appointment. I said, frankly, neither do I. He goes, and I said, by the way, congratulations on your promotion as CNO. He goes, thank you. He goes, I'll be out of here in a few weeks, but what can I do for you? What would you like me to do? I know you're a pastor. What can I do for you? And I said, sir, in all respect, I didn't come here so asking you for something. I've come here to say, I believe God's called me to be a community leader. And I believe our church is going to do something to honor the military. And I've come to meet with you to ask you, what can I do for you? How can this church help you? And he looked at me, he goes, in all the years I've been in the military, I have never had a pastor come to me and ask me, what can he do for me? I've always had lots of people ask things that we can do for them. He goes, I'm shocked. I don't know how to answer you. Can I encourage us here today? Let's be people who aren't looking for a free ride. Come on, someone say amen. Come on, I like that. You create your own success. God made the garden, and now he said, you work it. Here's the last thought. I got to close. Number three, owners know the power of momentum. Owners know the power of momentum. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 23. It says here, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Watch this. There is one who scatters, look at this, and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it only results in want. Can you see momentum here? There is one that scatters yet increases all the more. You would think if you're scattering, you're losing. But the one who scatters, the one who gives is generous, and as a result of his giving only becomes more blessed. It's momentum. And there is one who withholds what is unjustly due and results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Positive and negative momentum. I know what it's like to see positive momentum in church. I know what it's like to see negative momentum in church. You've been in church for 35 years. You're going to see some positive momentum and you're going to see some negative momentum. I know what it's in my life to see positive momentum working. I know what it's in my life to see negative momentum working. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so when it's good, you've got to be careful. You can start thinking you can do nothing wrong, because momentum is one of the greatest exaggerators on the planet. When everything's working, you feel like you can do nothing wrong. But when it's negative momentum, you feel like you can do nothing right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you start losing your confidence. Warren Buffett puts it this way. He says, you can't tell who's swimming naked in a high tide. High tide is positive momentum. You can be swimming naked, but you wouldn't know because the tide's covering you. I like that thought, don't you? Don't think in pictures right now. Just understand what I'm saying. But I love equally what Ed Young says. Ed Young puts it this way. He goes, there's a high tide and there's a low tide. In your business, there's high tide and low tide. In your income, there's a high tide and there's a low tide. But anybody knows anything about tides, you know, the Bible talks about in season and out of season. There's high tides in your life and there's low tides. There's in season and there's out of season in your life. Come on. In church life, there's high tides, the crowds are up, and there's low seasons, the crowds are down. Come on. That's what. But nobody on the beach is freaking out when it's low tide because they know the tide's going to come back again. They're not going, oh no, the world's coming to an end. It's all over. It's low tide. Ed Young says this. Warren Buffett says you can't tell who's swimming naked in high tide. Ed Young says a lot of dead things wash up on the beach at low tide that the high tide covered. I like that thought. You better pay attention to the low tide, and dead things wash up because the high tide covers a lot of dead things. Come on, somebody say amen. I want to encourage you that when you're an owner, you know the power of momentum. And you want momentum working for you in the name of Jesus. Look at this now. I got to close. Let me show you the power of momentum in the Bible. Exodus 23. How many know God wants us blessed? How many know that? Come on, how many know that? All of our campers, I'm asking everybody right now, work with me. How many know God wants us blessed? Show me your hand, okay? How many know God wants you to own a house? God wants you to own land? God wants you to be the head, not the tail? Have you got that? Have you got that? Say, got it, Pastor. Now, don't sit there going, well, I don't have it, so I don't know it. You got to know it before you'll ever have it. But if you're resenting this, you will know when you are ready for promotion, when you can rejoice in other people's success. When you can find it, when somebody gets what you're believing for and they got it before you, you'll know whether you're ready to get that by just your heart response. Come on. If you start getting all mean and mad and attitudinal, why'd they get promoted? What about me? It isn't fair. I've had enough and I want my share. Can't you see? You just take more than you. It's a song in case you didn't know. When you live your life in resentment and jealousy, you're not ready. But that's a good moment to realize I'm still not there yet. But I want to be the head. I'm still thinking like the tail. But I'll never get out of being the tail until I realize I'm thinking like the tail. Come on. Look at this. This is God speaking to Israel. They're going into the promised land. Promised land. God says, I'll give you land. God wants you to own. God wants you to build. God wants you to own the garden. He wants you to work your garden. He wants you to work your job. Take care of it. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're listening right now. He wants you to own that job. You work at McDonald's, own it. You flip burgers, you flip them good. You're the best flipping burger flipper there is on the flipping planet. Amen. And God will flippin' well promote you if you flip well. Amen. You cook the fries. You don't overcook the fries. You get them at the right temperature, at the right time, where they're not dry and crusty, and they're not soggy. I got to tell you, somewhere, somehow, God will see to it that He will promote you in the name of Jesus. I will not drive out all your enemies before you in a single year. The land, listen to this, may not become desolate. Look at this. I will not drive them out before you in a single year. That the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little. Watch until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. If I give it to you all at once, it'll be too much. The beasts of the fields will become too numerous. You won't have the strength to resist them. I will not drive it all. I will not give you everything you want in a year. I'll give it to you. You own it. But as you increase in capacity, as you grow in strength, as you own what I give you, and you take possession of it and you take ownership of it. And as you get big enough, and I'll give you this. And then when you can handle this, I'll give you this. And then when you can handle this, I'll give you this. Come on. That's why the Bible says an inheritance gained too quickly will come to ruin. Come on, somebody say amen. Church, can we own this? Watch what he says here. I will drive them out before you, little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness of the river Euphrates. And I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. Momentum! Momentum! All right, we're getting good at this. All that's out. We're getting good at this. And it's a snowball effect. My last scripture, I'm done, I promise. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away. Negative momentum. Dishonest money dwindles away. You get something and you didn't get it right, it will leave you. There will be momentum. You will reap what you sow. Amen. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. What's that? What's that? Positive momentum. Whoever gathers money little by little. If you don't know how to look after a dime, you'll never know how to look after a dollar. Come on. Dishonest money, it dwindles away. It's negative momentum. You see, owners know the power of momentum. Amen. Some people are hell-bent on getting out of debt. Amen. God bless you. But they're so hell-bent on getting out of debt, they forget to give to God. Because they make themselves their goal rather than understanding the tithe is always the Lord's. And they start thinking, well, and dishonest money, let me tell you something, dwindles away. But if you're just faithful in just the little things, can I tell you, it's like a snowball effect. Talk to anybody who gets out of debt right. And they'll tell you, you know what? We just started valuing a dime. We just started valuing a nickel. We started looking at the money and we just got rid of the little things that were annoying. And that built momentum to get rid of the other things. Amen? And we started getting faithful. And I'm talking about money, but it's the principle of life in any area of your life. Amen? You see, momentum is powerful. And momentum is absolutely unstoppable. Amen? You ain't going to stop a snowball coming down a hill. And I want to see people in Wave Church building momentum in their marriage. And that's what you do. You want to build momentum in your marriage? Come this Friday, Saturday. Amen. You'll build positive momentum. Say to your wife, honey, I think we should go to that. We got kids' facilities taken care of. Matter of fact, we got as many kids as we do parents registered, I heard. So we've even had to rent the school down the road to actually for facilities for the children. So we got you. You want to build positive momentum in your marriage? You want to keep that thing moving? Keep investing into it. See how this works? In your job, you want to build positive momentum in your job? What more can I do? Not just what does my boss want me to do, but come on, what more can I do? I'm done. I'm finished. I've done all that. Can I do anything else? Amen. Positive momentum. Anybody receive the word? My time's up. Come on. Come on.